What does the Bible say about heaven? Part three, our body in heaven before the rapture. What will that look like? So we want to look at 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5, and that's in your notes. And let me read it for you. If you don't have your notes handy or a little hard there, but it says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. And then verse 5, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. All right? So that's the verses we're going to look at. Now what I want to take you to, before we kind of explain the verses a little bit, and we'll do that just briefly, is look at three possibilities. When you die before the rapture, there's three possibilities about how you look or what it looks like. You know, are you a ghost or are you in some other situation here? Right here. And this is, again, if we die before the rapture, what are we like? And the other question, do we have bodies, is kind of where we're going with this today. So here's three possibilities. Possibility number one, probably one of the more prominent views, is we receive our new body right away. When we die, we get a new body. We get our glorified body and everything's finished. Okay? That's view number one. Number two, view number two. These aren't hard, are they? We exist without a body until the rapture. Another possibility is you're just outside of any body until the rapture happens, when our body that's buried in the ground is resurrected, changed, and reunited with us. Okay? So, and I think I have in your notes, maybe not, but I put just our spirit, or our immaterial part, our soul and spirit, or however you want to say that. Okay? So maybe we exist without a body, and that would almost be like a ghost kind of a thing. You know, it's not a ghost, but it's like, it's just existing apart from a house, so to speak. Number three, and this is the one that I will present today, we are given a temporary body of some kind. Now, I don't know about you, but most people don't think about this at all. They don't think about having a body. I think in their mind, they assume that. When I think of my mother being in the presence of the Lord, I don't think of her being as a cloud or a puff of smoke or anything. Okay? I picture her in some way having a body in the presence of the Lord. Now, that doesn't make my view right or not. You know, it's no proof whatsoever what I think. But we're going to talk about this in a little bit. All right? Let's look at two statements that we can say that makes us think that most likely we get a temporary body. Okay, I won't fight you for this, but at the same time, I think it seems rather clear. Letter A here underneath, we're given a temporary body. Scripture indicates that we receive our new glorified bodies at the rapture, not before. Right? We just reviewed a little bit of that. 1 Thessalonians 4 says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Their bodies will be resurrected, reconstituted in a glorified fashion, and then they will meet their soul or spirit, however you want to say that, that's in the presence of the Lord now. What is resurrected? It's just the body. It is changed into a glorified body, and then it's reunited, or not reunited, it's united with the spirit and soul that is in right now in the presence of the Lord. Notice there in your notes here, right below that point, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So they don't have their final body. Does that make sense? It's there till the rapture. It's not happening until Jesus returns at the rapture to meet us in the air. The next passage down says more on this. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 53. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We'll talk about that maybe more next week. My goal next week is to tell you what our glorified body will be like. And no, it will not have a picture of me on it, okay? It says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Again, to review, that term is only used of believers who have died. And we already have discussed this, but the body is in essence asleep, and our spirit is in the presence of the Lord. We've already, that's what we talked about last week, okay? So we shall not all sleep, we will not all die, but we shall all be changed. At that moment, we will be changed, all of us, dead and alive, asleep and alive. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised. You might want to underline that. The dead will be raised incorruptible. The body still needs to be transformed, to be glorified. So that hasn't happened and will not happen until the rapture. Here's the trumpet and all of that again. And then we, talking about those that are alive, will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So there's two verses. Now flip your notes over. Philippians 3. I mentioned that your body is not saved. Okay? It doesn't mean that God hasn't made it sure that it will be saved. If you believe that Jesus is your Savior, you are His child. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, but your body needs changed. It's a sinful body. It's our flesh, okay? Look at Philippians 3 at the top of the back of your notes here. For our citizenship is in heaven. If you're a Christian, you actually belong to heaven. That's your true country. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Eagerly wait how? For the rapture, okay? That's when we will see Jesus. Who, look at verse 21 now, who will transform or change our lowly, the King James says vile body, who will transform our lowly body, our humble body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Again, that happens at the rapture. According to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. One more passage just below there, 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And if you're a believer, you can say that today. I am a child of God. However, my body has not been changed. Notice, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, and I believe that's still speaking of the rapture, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. So when we see him, when is that? The rapture, that's when our bodies are glorified. That's when we no longer have our sinful bodies, and therefore our salvation will be, if you will, complete. Okay? So, Scripture indicates, letter A there, that we receive our new glorified bodies at the rapture, not before. So, when we look at point number one here, it looks like that is not the case. You don't receive your glorified body as soon as you die. So, we know at least point one, or possibility number one, is not true. We don't know about number two yet. Okay? Look at number two. Letter B. Scripture indicates that God gives us some type of body to complete us until we are resurrected and given new bodies, or if you will, our glorified bodies. The bodies that will be like Jesus. Okay? I give you two passages to think about. And again, it's not one idea, you know, it's not outside the realm of grasping onto, but I'm going to go to Luke 16 again. Well, I'll just review Luke 16. We've already talked about it. But in your notes, it says Lazarus. Remember, Lazarus, when he died and the rich man died in Luke 16, and we talked about hell first, and then we used that as we talked about heaven. Lazarus, the rich man, asked Abraham, what do you have to be able to ask anything, by the way? You have to have a mouth and a voice and a tongue and all of that. And usually with that goes a body. All right? And he asks Abraham, so he's talking to Abraham, and he asks Abraham to have Lazarus dip his what? His finger. Now, unless Lazarus is a finger, and that's all he is, he's got a body with fingers. Does that make sense? Lazarus is there. He can see Lazarus. He can talk to Abraham. Lazarus is leaning on Abraham's bosom, the Bible says. So he's leaning his head. So he seems to have a whole body. The Bible seems to indicate then, by what we understand about the rapture, that there is a temporary body, but it's not the final thing. It's not the glorified body. And again, if your brain's hurting, that's okay. Mine hurts a little bit too when I think about this. But somehow God doesn't make us wander in some kind of, you know, bodiless form. The word is disembodied. You know, you're outside of body experience or something. No, God gives us some body. But maybe in the same way, remember what we said when we think that when believers died before the cross, the payment hadn't been made. And once the payment was made, they were able to be in the presence of the Lord. The deposit had been made. Maybe there's something like that, that until Jesus comes back formally to gather his church, it's not time for the glorification of the body. Okay? That's what it looks like. But in the meantime, he gives you something to dwell in that apparently is not glorified, but allows you to function until that time comes. Okay? It doesn't tell us a whole lot more, but it sounds like a normal body of some kind that can exist in heaven. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So maybe it's not, you know, exactly what we think of today, but it's still like a body. You still have hands, you still have feet, you still have eyes, you still have nose, things like that. Okay, but it's somehow suited for dwelling in heaven. All right? So, because just like people in the torment, like the rich man, he had some kind of body. Because he had a tongue. And he was in excruciating pain, so he had the ability to feel pain and all of that kind of thing. And he had eyes that he could see and all of that. Unbelievers have some kind of temporary body as well. All right? Even though their body is left here when they die, they end up with some other kind of body that allows them to experience pain, to be punished. The other one that I'll take you to is in Matthew 17, the passage that I want to highlight here. And maybe there are others, but verses 1 through 3 of Matthew said this. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking. All right? Now, what was the status of Moses and Elijah prior to that very moment? Alive or dead is all I'm looking for. They had died a long time ago. Well, here's Elijah and Moses that had bodies. They were standing and talking. And they were, by the way, might bring this out next week, recognizable as who they were. Okay, so they were in full form and bodies, but they were not their glorified bodies yet, as we understand it. They're not their resurrected bodies. Okay? So that's another passage that indicates that you can exist without your physical body, but God gives you some kind of body to exist in. All right? I know it kind of, again, makes your brain hurt a little bit, but it's a good question when you stop and think about it. It's like, okay, if my body's here, and if I die and my body's here, and I'm not going to get that body back changed and glorified until the trumpet sounds at the rapture, exactly what am I going to look like and what form am I going to exist until there? It's not a big thought, but it's a logical thought if you go through that. Because if I don't have a body till then, that seems kind of weird. The Bible implies or seems to indicate that we will have bodies, temporary bodies of some kind, okay? And again, you probably haven't thought about it maybe before today, maybe you have. Now let's transition to the passage itself and just talk a little bit about 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. And I have six basic, I guess we call them observations or statements that we can cover here, okay? And it's rather an interesting passage here. If you would, flip your notes back over to the front and look at the top again. And notice I did this in the Greek and in the English, but I bolded the word house. It's oikia. We actually get the word economy. It's eco, the way it's transliterated in English. So we get oikonomia. That's actually a Greek word, but oikos or oikia, our earthly house. And then the word building uses that word with something else. And then it uses the word house again. And then the word habitation also uses oikia at the beginning of the word. So this word is used four times. So it's all about our house. But it's a different house than what you might be thinking, okay? But I bolded it in the English and bolded it in Greek there. Okay, so you can see that. Now flip it back over and let's look at this passage. And if you need to, keep flipping back over, all right, as we read through it. But verse number 1 says, "For if we know that our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed." So let's, the first point here, or observation, our present body is an earthly tent. And I may have taken it out of your notes because of space, but which can be destroyed. The body you have now is not indestructible. It's not immortal. And it's not incorruptible. It can fall apart. It can be destroyed. Okay? And I looked at where this word destroyed shows up, and it's definitely the word for destroyed, okay? It's to be cast down. It can be talked about dissolved or whatever. But the idea, if this body is done away with, okay? So The observation here is our present body is an earthly tent. An earthly tent. What is a tent? Yeah, it's a temporary one. In fact, it's so temporary. Do you remember the red tent that was in my backyard for the backyard fellowships? It was an 8-man tent. It was big, and we'd moved it around. We camped in it, I don't know, once or twice this summer. But it got so tattered, I threw it away. It's temporary. It's okay. I wouldn't do that to my house. I fix up my house. I throw away the tent. The tent is a temporary dwelling. Okay? It's interesting. The Greek says it like this. It says, the earthly of us house of the tent. You know, it's the tentish house. Our bodies here are temporary dwellings, and it's a lot like the tent. Our bodies get tattered, wore out, and they are doomed to fall apart and be destroyed. Okay? They are not everlasting. So our body is like a tent. If you think of it as a temporary dwelling that gets beat up and wore out and will eventually be done away with because it's corruptible. Okay? It can fall apart. It can be destroyed. All right? So our present body is an earthly tent. Now, the second part of this verse says this: God will give us an eternal body like a permanent building. Okay? So it's contrasting a house that's like a tent to a house that's like a building. It's funny, not funny, it's just normal. Oftentimes you get married and eventually, usually not right away, but eventually your goal is to get a house. You want to move out of the tent. Or maybe even the apartment. By virtue, apartment is temporary too, right? Because you'll never own it, right? And it's not wrong to live in an apartment, it's not even wrong to live in a tent. But it's like your goal is to get something a little more sturdy. How many have ever slept in a tent during a storm? You're like thinking, I don't know if I'm really into camping at this point. You know, the and all of a sudden, you know, hopefully your tarp over the top doesn't decide to go on a flying mission or something. But all of a sudden, it's not that fun. You know, I don't mind rain in a tent, but when you get the wind and all, it's just not sturdy in it. It's just not the same as being in the house. This is the word that's often translated edification, interestingly enough. You know, we're trained to serve for the edification of the body of Christ. It's the same word. Okay, it's the building. It's the sturdy building. And in the last part of verse 1 there, this building is from God, a house not made with hands. Even your house, if you have one, on this earth will be destroyed. Right? So it's not, it's just comparing tent to house. But we're not talking about physical stuff. God says it's going to be a house, a body, if you will, that's not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. Now this is talking about our permanent body, our glorified body, which we will ultimately have at the rapture, right? If you're a Christian. So God will give us an eternal body like a permanent building. Now let's jump to verse 2. You can flip over to verse 2 and look at it here. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which again uses the first part of the word is house, which is from heaven. We want the heavenly house, not the earthly one. Now, maybe it scares us a little bit to think about dying. It scares us a little bit to think about going to heaven. But Paul says, when you understand what we have, this tent that can be destroyed, it's corruptible and all of that, and you understand our glorified body, you will want that glorified body. Now, maybe you're too young, and I'm talking about younger than Pastor Jim. Maybe you're too young and you haven't got up in the morning and things don't hurt. My dad and I were having a discussion on this in the car coming home from Marion yesterday. At a certain point, it's not if you hurt, right? It's what hurts now as you get older. And things just don't work well and they don't feel right and they don't work right and all of that, because your body is breaking down. It's falling apart. And when you're 12, you don't get that. When you're 22, you maybe think a little bit about it. When you're 32, you're shocked, because you thought that old was 82 instead of 32. So I told my dad, I used to think age was you got old and then you went like this. It was a straight line until you got in your 60s, maybe 70s, maybe 80s, and all of a sudden it just plummeted. And it's like, no, you get to 30, and it just starts declining. Things start not working well and all of that. By the time you're 40, you're wearing bifocal glasses because you can't see well, even just looking down. Okay? That kind of thing is what we have now. Once you understand the impact of it on sin as well, that we are infected and affected by sin in our bodies, and it draws us to sin, it longs to sin our body, then you want further to be clothed with the habitation which is in heaven, what God has prepared for us, our new body. And notice here it says we groan, and that's the word here. Knowing about the new body, we groan, and I call it, sorry it sounds kind of trite, but we groan to be upgraded. I want the new model. I want the better model. I want the model that doesn't fall apart. I want the model that doesn't hurt, that doesn't get sick, the one that doesn't die. That's what I want. When you understand what God will be giving us as believers, again, unbelievers, it's a completely different story, and we've talked about that. But believers will get this new body, it will be transformed, and you have never felt like you will feel, because you've never not been infected by sin and that which pulls you down because of sin. Okay? So knowing about our new body, we groan to be upgraded. We want the new body. If you understand correctly as a Christian what's coming, you look forward to that. You don't shy away from that. You look forward to that. Paul said that too. It's like, you know, I'm divided between you Philippians and me, because I have a desire to stay with you, which would be good for you, but I'd rather be with Jesus, which is what? Far better. I think the Greek says, ain't no comparison, or something like that. All right? Now look at verse 3. Flip it over, if you would. For it says this: if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. And I think that's the idea here. Whoops. Yeah, there we go. If unclothed at death, we will have an in-between body. And that's what Paul's talking about here. One commentator said it seemed like in one passage, Paul was thinking maybe he would be alive at the rapture. And later on, it was like maybe he was thinking maybe he wouldn't be. Because he's talking us and them instead of us. Okay? Which is fine. Okay? But he says here, if indeed having been clothed. This I have to wrestle with a little bit. In the Greek, the word clothed. Different Greek passages, texts, have that word, but there's one letter difference. The one that begins And this is, if you look at verse 3 in the Greek, it's E-N. N, I'll try and pronounce it, endousamenoi, which means having been clothed. E-N means, think of it as on. So if you put on something, okay, having been clothed, we won't be naked. The other Greek text is E-K. Same word, except it has a K in it. So, and that's what's in this Greek text. It's ek dousamenoi. Okay, what's, the rest of it doesn't matter, but it's unclothed. Rather than clothed, it's unclothed. And that's what I think it's talking about here. To me, it fits the passage better. Most of the translations translate it clothed rather than unclothed. But the Greek text here says unclothed. But it's the idea, if we are unclothed, if that tent is done away, if we do lose this earthly house, i.e. we're unclothed, it's using the picture of being covered and uncovered, it says here, we will not be left naked. Okay, we won't be just a roaming spirit or something. And that's the idea here. That's where they get the idea of a transitional body or whatever. God will give us something to dwell in that has eyes, nose, ears, fingers, and all of that until it's a temporary house, until you get the permanent one, the good one, the glorified one. Okay? So that's what I put in your notes. Some Greek texts say unclothed, and to me it makes sense. If indeed having been unclothed, we shall not be found naked. And it makes more sense that way. Well, if you're clothed, we won't be naked. Well, obviously. But if you're unclothed, we won't be found naked because God will give us something else, another body. And again, it's kind of a strange study, but it's still a logical thought process. What happens to me if I die before the rapture? And what will it be like? And Paul says, we won't be unclothed. We won't be without a body. There'll be something there that God will put us in until we come back and get our glorified bodies that will be resurrected at the return of the Lord Jesus. If so, it's talking about this unclothed state where the tent is destroyed, as he talks about in verse 1. It is speaking about our earthly body being lost through death. Okay, that's what happens. Your body is done for. When you die, it's that body is finished. And nothing's going to happen to it until Jesus returns at the rapture and resurrects it and changes it to be a glorified body. And that happens at the rapture. So what happens to me until then? God will give you something to clothe you, if you will, a temporary body to have. I know it's kind of a weird thought, a weird discussion, but it's still something that the Bible seems to talk about to some degree. Verse 4 says this, for we who are in this tent, what's the tent? Our physical bodies right now, this temporary dwelling. We are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. We don't want to lose our body. We're not looking forward to losing our body. We're just looking forward to getting the better one, that's all. He says, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up in life. And listen, one of the commentators said it something like this. There's a transitional stage. We're still in the presence of the Lord. We're in some kind of body that God gives us as a temporary body. But it's the first step to the glorified state. It's the first step until we get our glorified bodies. It's the beginning of the end in a good way. Okay? So it's just right around the corner then. So we don't want to be, I say it this way, we don't want to be unclothed. Our goal isn't, you know, we're not looking forward to losing this body through death, but we're looking forward to what comes afterward. Okay? We're looking forward to be eternally clothed. Something that is, again, incorruptible. Something that is immortal, that cannot die, cannot be hurt, cannot be destroyed. So in that process, God gives us a temporary body until Jesus returns. We get our glorified bodies, and then we are complete. We're finished as far as our salvation. One more verse here, and then I guess I have a couple verses underneath there. And then I'll read a little quote out of one of the theologies we have. Verse 5 says, "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." It's like, well, we don't have our body, our final body yet, but God has given us a guarantee. This is translated as an earnest. My dad was a banker for years, an earnest. When you make an offer in a house, you give earnest money. You have to give earnest money when you offer the house. You say, "I'm serious about this. I will follow through with this process." It's also translated as an engagement ring. I think Jordan got one of those not too long ago. What, a year and a half? How long has it been? Year and a half? You know, that was Ethan saying, "You know, I really mean this. I really plan on showing up that day," kind of idea. Okay? Or a deposit. It's the idea there. It's a guarantee that God is going to finish what he started. And even though we cannot see the Holy Spirit, God says this, the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives within you, and that's my deposit, that I will finish what I started, and you will ultimately get your glorified body. Okay? The more you understand the Bible, the less comfortable you are here on earth, I believe. And the less comfortable you are even with your own body in some ways. Because it is infected and affected by sin. And you understand the demands it makes. You do not have to yield to those demands, but the demands it makes on you towards sin. And that will all be gone. God has made it a down payment, a guarantee, a deposit. Two verses that use this exact same word is 2 Corinthians 1:22, just four chapters earlier in the same book. It says, "Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee, as a deposit, as a surety, as a down payment, as an engagement ring." Whatever works for you, that idea. He's going to follow through with it. And the next verse that uses this exact same word is Ephesians 1:14. Talks about the Holy Spirit being who is the guarantee of our inheritance when? Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. And again, the Bible talks like it's not over yet. And you have to understand that it's not. Is our salvation finished in the sense that the transaction is done? Yes, Jesus has died and rose again. That's finished. If you believed on Him, as I understand it, he who believes on Him is not condemned. He that believes not is condemned already. So if you believe on Him, you're saved, but you're not done yet as far as God is concerned, because you're not fully saved. You will be. He's given you the guarantee, but it won't be over until He gives you that brand new body, and then you'll be completely done. You'll be finished. You'll be fully saved so that you will be saved from the guilt of sin, which is when you're born into the family of God, you believe in Jesus. Right now, you're being saved from the power of sin. It's called sanctification. But eventually, you'll be saved from the very presence of sin when your bodies are changed. At that trumpet. Okay? No more sin ever. Okay, our present body is an earthly tent which can be destroyed. God will give us an eternal body like a permanent building. It's not going to be shabby or something that can break down or fall apart. It's going to be glorified. By the way, my goal is to talk about that next week, what our body will be like. So we haven't really hinted at that a whole lot yet. Knowing about the new body, we should, as believers, want it. Paul says, man, since we know about this, we groan. And we don't groan because we want to be unclothed. We're not looking forward to that death experience. We're looking forward to what comes after death. We don't want to be unclothed, but eternally clothed. I forgot to give you the last one. God who prepared this for us has given us a guarantee. Sorry about that. I forgot to give you that. Guarantee, and I put it in capital G because it's talking about the Holy Spirit. God has given the Holy Spirit to live within us. Now look at the quote. It's in your notes, but it's also here. Lewis Sperry Chafer is the founder, was the founder, he's with the Lord now, of a Dallas Theological Seminary, a seminary that a lot of people have been influenced by in a good way over the years. It's kind of gone down by the wayside in recent years, but this is Lewis Sperry Chafer, and he's written an 8-volume set of, it's called a theology, a systematic theology. He's written lots of books. Very good, easy to understand man, too. He was greatly impacted, if you've heard of C.I. Schofield, of the Schofield Bible. He says this, and it's in your notes too. He talks about an intermediate body, and this I'm just saying as a summary here. A declaration is made in 2 Corinthians 5:1-5, that should this earthly house of this tabernacle, that's what the King James says, instead of tent, it says tabernacle. Tabernacle means tent. Earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and that the human spirit earnestly desires not to be clothed or disembodied. We don't want to be floating spirits, but to be clothed upon, and to this end, a body from heaven, eternal, with respect to its qualities, as any body from heaven must be, awaits the believer who dies. The believer, in other words, who dies, will thus not be unclothed or bodiless between death and the resurrection of that original body, which will be from the grave. The body from heaven could not be the body which is from the grave, nor could the body from the grave serve as an intermediate body before the resurrection. Apart from the divine provision of an intermediate body, the believer's desire is that he should not be unclothed or bodiless, could not be satisfied. So again, that's a kind of a final statement there. Kind of a unique study, but it is a logical next step. We talked about what happens if you die. We talked about what happens if you don't die and you're alive at the rapture. Now we're talking about right after you die, before the rapture, the Bible seems to indicate that you'll have some kind of temporary body, just like Lazarus had in paradise, that you will be able to function until God gives you that glorified body. It's not the finished product, it's a temporary product. It's like a loaner car at the mechanic, you know, or the body shop. Here's your loaner car until you get your brand new car, brand new body, in the sense that's eternal and incorruptible. And then next week, then what happens? What will our body be like after the rapture? So that's the next step for us. Okay, what will our glorified bodies be like? Then we'll skip a week. We're going to talk about baptism, and then we're going to go into what happens after the rapture, and that will be the judgment seat of Christ. We'll go into more detail on that. So anyway, I hope it helps. It's a little different. You won't be going home probably thinking about all the, you know, the intermediate body a whole lot or whatever, but it's still part of what the scriptures talk about, and it's something logically that you will think about if you're thinking in that process at all. So hopefully this helps. Next week again, what will our glorified bodies be like? The bodies that we get that will be like Jesus' body. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, we know that you give us your word and desire for us to study it in detail. We do thank you, Father, that you have thought of every detail, and that, Lord, as we enter into your presence through death and we lose this body, we'll have something else of another body that we will be able to inhabit, if you will, that be us until we get our glorified bodies when the Lord Jesus returns at the rapture. Lord, we look forward to that day, and as I mentioned before, earlier today and also last week, wouldn't be a surprise if some of us here, if not many of us here, are alive at the rapture, who will never die, who will instantly get glorified bodies without having to be unclothed from this body. Lord, I pray that if anyone is here that doesn't know what will happen when they die, that they will look at what you have done, that you have given Jesus to die on the cross for their sins, that they may put their trust, their faith, their belief in the one who has died and risen again for them, so that their sins could be paid for and they could be right with you. I pray, Lord, that you would bless our fellowship, and may we just be able to encourage one another today. And help us, Lord, in the Sunday school hour to, again, learn more of what your word will teach. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.